Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, is in our studio. Steve, you remember how you and I were talking about Phil's very interesting list of Phil's 50, the top restaurants in Chicago?
Yes, and how I'd been to two of them.
Had you been to two?
I was at Blackbird.
Yeah.
And I think there
Purple
was one
Pig?
Other. No, I didn't get
to
I had
been
Purple
to Purple Pig.
Pig.
Well, let's start at the top. Alinea, or do you say Alinea? I say Alinea.
I think
I want to work with him on the pronunciation of that.
Phil, it would be much prettier if Alinea. I really
right.
think that.
Don't right. you think? It kind of rhymes with Dulcinea, so you
yeah,
can do
right.
a whole Man of La Mancha thing with.
Either way, it's a pretty sounding word. But what does Alinea mean? Why do they call it that?
It's a typographic symbol, and it was used back in the day when we were writing on paper or papyrus. Things were very expensive.
Paper.
Well, the pre
when it really was expensive.
Real parchment, and it was expensive.
Yeah.
And that was a little mark indicating the beginning of a new thought. We would start a new paragraph these days because we don't have expensive paper and we don't use paper anyway.
Oh, it'd be a way to save space instead of skipping
right.
all instead that white space
line,
you're not using.
You put the little alinea there and then new thought coming.
Alinea.
And then you go right from there.
So it's a new thought coming. Hey, here's a new restaurant.
That was their idea.
Ah, that's a pretty good idea. Then Grace is number two.
Yes.
Topolobampo, Smith with a Y. Why did they pull it? Was that how they spell their name? Is that a family name?
The first restaurant they opened together was in Smith County in Chilhowee, Virginia. So they took this name from as a little way of hearkening to their origins professionally.
Momotaro?
That is a breed of Japanese tomato.
Elsk is number six on your list.
It's the Danish word for love.
You did not know I was going to quiz you on the...
I did not know this.
Okay,
I'm glad I'm six for six. What's happening after this.
Acadia?
Acadia is refers to the chef's love of all things Maine and refers to Acadia National Park, which is in Maine.
Oriole? They only serve cooked birds?
The chef's wife is from Baltimore, and that was a little tip of the hat to her favorite baseball team.
I hope you can get the next two, and then I'm going to give you a cookie.
Okay.
Blackbird, number nine.
I just think they like the name. I do not know about anything. Sorry.
Gee.
I know. It's like I just missed bucket number six.
That's right.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah. And number 10, just to round it out, is George III, which is a new restaurant.
It is a new restaurant, and this is an homage to his father, grandfather, and one uncle, all named George, who inspired him. Father and uncle, both named George, who inspired him, and the restaurant itself is the third George.
So you had their previous position in parentheses, but I'll just ask you, I guess I could do the math on this. Who was the biggest leap? Who is the hottest new restaurant, if you judged it by either their inclusion for the first time way up or that they've moved up a lot from a previous year. Who are you really excited about?
Certainly George III, coming out of, making its debut at number 10. That's a pretty big deal, I think. And Monteverde, number 14, was number 24 when it first arrived. And I just thought it needed to be higher.
When you do this, do you consider... Is it value or is it cost included or is it atmosphere or is it just the taste of the food?
It's a little of everything. Value comes into my mind when I'm trying to figure out who gets on the list because I don't want this to be Phil's unaffordable dining experiences
right.
writ large. I want to be able to and rather than trying to identify this list as the absolute very best, I try to posit this as these are the restaurants I'm excited about right now. Which is why this list skews more toward newer restaurants than the established one. I try to include some of the established ones as well. I try to be well-rounded with this. But with any number, when any zero-sum game, when if there's no room for number 51, then you have to make some choices.
Well, Everest is number 18 on your list. Preview, it was 14. But if this was ever first time on the list, would they maybe be higher? I mean, are some of them, it's easy to take for granted that they'll always be in there?
That's a really interesting question. I think, yes, if Everest debuted like this, I would be blown away.
Right.
And I'm probably have become a little accustomed to my blessings, as it were.
How many of these 50 have you been to? Any of them?
No, I just went to the Yellow Pages and... Remember Yellow Pages? We were talking about things that...
I know, don't exist anymore.
They sort of do, but you have to explain that this used to be this super vital part of our lives, and now it's just sort of there.
The Yellow Pages used to come to my door when I had a house. Now I have a condo, so there's 8 of us sharing the building.
Right.
And there's
stack of them at the bottom.
And they're all wet because nobody's picked them up and they've been rained on. That's mm-hmm. what happens to Yellow Pages now. If you're a Yellow Page salesperson, I wish you nothing but the best, and there's great value in what you do. Okay, so you've got the 50 here, and you've touched on value, and I appreciate mm-hmm. that. But Steve and I were saying the problem with lists like this, and this was really Steve's criticism of you.
You know that's not true. You know that's not true.
Bring it.
It's like, oh, yeah, well, sure, Everest and Alinea and Topolobampo, but I'm not going there. I can't afford mm-hmm. to go. I'm never going to be there. So give me a place that... If it was a little out of my comfort range, it would be worth my while. You mm-hmm. know, I don't need a $200 prefix.
Sure,
but I'll do a $100 prefix maybe for right. the wife and I for a special occasion. So where should I go?
I'll go you better than that. I say at Topolobampo, which is all the way up there at number three.
Three,
but the threshold for entry is not that great. You're not locked into the 7-course tasting, though they do have it. You could just go with 3 courses and spend less than $100 and be very happy. Or do 3 courses and then after the 3rd course say, you know what, I think I'm going to get another course. And they'll take care of that as well. Or something, say, Momotaro at number 5, where it's not a tasting experience per se. You're a la carte, which means you control
right.
where your money's going. And then at Momotaro, there's the downstairs izakaya, which is their little street food thing, and that's much less expensive.
Would you put Purple Pig in the category mm-hmm. of approachable top
Absolutely. 50? You can go in there, and it's all the way across the street from where we're sitting right now. And you can have 2-3 dishes, depending on how much food how much of a big meal you're going to make out of it, and be very happy and not have spent very much money at all, or just go in and have one thing and a drink.
If we do the opposite version of that, it's the company card, or we just won the lottery. If you had mm-hmm. no end of budget, where would you spend it?
Then it'd be Alinea and Grace, and also I got to say Smith, which is newer than these two for sure.
Talk to me about Alinea. What is it like going there?
Alinea is. Grant Ack is sort of challenging your ideas about the nature of food and the nature of how we eat it and something like that. You know, in his early days, he was doing solid versions of dishes we always thought of as liquids and vice versa. And he still has this signature finale in which a silicon pad is put on the table. It's basically a silicon tablecloth goes on the table. And then dessert sort of happens in the form of things being dropped on the table and sauces being squirted on there, and you can kind of scoop it up or not. And some things are these freeze-dried hunks that you have to break with your spoon. And if you do it right, you get a nice crack. And if you do it really right, a piece flies off the table. And he throws all these flavors you expect at dessert, and chocolates and nut flavors and sauces and fruits, and just puts them in sort of this Art Institute, abstract sort of way.
You understand that some people don't want to do that.
Yes.
Might not like that at all. Go, wait, this is $200?
Right, because this is a level of food that you don't start off at. You have to get to the point where you said, you know, that's a great veal chop, but I've had veal chop, and I sort of get this.
Do you have a steakhouse on here? Is there a place where I can just get a 500-degree ribeye?
Yes, absolutely. Which one?
What's the best steakhouse?
I'm looking for down there. Actually, the Stealth Steakhouse is El Che Bar, and Chef John Mannion would not appreciate my referring to him in any way as a steak place. But they do all open fire cooking, and he has, last I looked, 3 or 4 steaks on the menu.
Number 28 on your list, or was 22? So, I mean, I noticed that. I don't notice anything because I don't know the menu of all these places, mm-hmm. but I don't see a lot of restaurants I recognize as Chicago signature steakhouses.
I see. Well, then I would direct you to number 34 and Swift & Sons, which is out in the Fulton Market District, and that is That is your definitive, your great steakhouse.
Giant potato, giant hunk of broccoli.
Less, no, not that. The kind of meat you expect, the appetizers are a little chefier, shall we say. You can get the baked potato. They will do that, but it's not there. It's not the same thing as just giving you some monster-sized vegetable, and that's what you start with. There'll be oysters. They have great oysters.
Huh. So you were describing Alinea. I get that. I mean, it's art maybe isn't the right word, but maybe it is what he's doing there. What about Grace? Is it a similar kind of?
It is similar. Curtis Duffy was at Alinea once upon a time, and then he opened. he was the second chef at Avenues when it got its two Michelin stars, at the Peninsula Hotel, and he was such an integral part of that. When he left, I think they closed the place, and they said, "Ah, heck with this, we'll just make it a private party space," and he opened Grace. And It is certainly that level of refinement, but he's not doing quite as much culinary sleight of hand as Grant would do. But it's just these beautiful plates and these just amazing imaginative ways of putting food together. And you look at some of these and you go, oh, I've never thought of scallops this way.
Chicago Tribune's Phil Vitale's in our studio. You may have last week seen Phil's 50, his top 50 restaurants in, are this Chicago or Chicago area? Are you in the suburbs on this as well?
I have two suburban restaurants in this list. I've had other suburban restaurants in previous lists.
So they could be included.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And also I have a certificate to Girl and the Goat. Are you excited for me?
Yes. Yes. Right.
What will I get there?
Well, first get a reservation. Because that's the tough part.
Well, that's another thing I want to ask you about. Hold on a second, Phil. And this is WGN. Phil Vitale is in our studio. Chicago Tribune restaurant critic. You read him on Wednesdays. Recently, his top 50 has a list of restaurants he likes the most in Chicago and the Chicago area. So Girl and the Goat, you said the first thing you got to get is reservations. That's probably true about any of these places.
Some are tougher than others, for sure. Some are very small, and that makes it hard to get into. Giant at number 22 only has 40 seats, something like that. So it doesn't take much to fill it up. Topolo Bombo is a smallish dining room. But again, when a place is this good, it's sometimes going to be, I hope, hard to get into.
There's a place that's opening up. I live in Lakeview, not too far from Wrigley Field, not too far from Halsted. I'm so excited because there's a place opening up I want you to try. It's called Wingstop. Wingstop, they make wings. Mm-hmm. That's what they make. They make chicken wings. And they have French fries and coleslaw. And you pick up those wings and you take them home and they'll carry you out on their shoulders. They will love you for that. Wingstop.
Right. I've actually been. They have a couple. I think they have one out in the suburbs.
Yeah. Maybe it's not all that great. I don't know. But it's convenient, and I tend to like that food.
Well, there's only so far you're going to travel for a chicken wing.
This was Steve Bertrand's point. He goes, why are you enthusiastic about chicken wings? It's the afterthought of the bird.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't think I agree with that at all.
I think the afterthought of the bird is the chicken thigh, and which is great because it's my favorite cut. And
oh, yes,
they're so
too.
Cheap now because all the wings are sold before the chickens sprout them, for crying out loud. And then you have the chicken breast. That's an easy sell, and everybody wants a drumstick. And the poor, lonely little chicken thigh gets no respect, and it's, to my mind, the tastiest piece of
the chicken. Tastiest piece of the chicken.
You can get them over at Purple Pig. Last I looked, they did some very nice grilled chicken thighs.
What are you writing about in tomorrow's paper?
Tomorrow I'm going to be writing about chicken thighs. No, I'm going to be writing about a Japanese restaurant called Katana, K-A-T-A-N-A. It's in River North in the old Bin 36 space right next to the Hard Rock Cafe by Marina Towers up there between it's a Japanese restaurant. It's actually an import. Conceptually, the original Katana is in is on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, and it became a real celebrity hangout out there, and it still is. And now it's open here, but they got smart. They hired a longtime Chicago restaurateur, Jason Chan, to be the front man at this restaurant, so it has local grounding.
Huh.
And they're adjusting the menu a little bit for that.
Are you going to give it a good review?
I am.
Katana in tomorrow's Chicago Tribune. Let's go back to your top 50 list before I let
you
go. So what's the best Italian place on here?
Oh, Spiaggia, although I love me some Monteverde. Not coincidentally, the chef at Monteverde, Sarah Gruneberg, who won the James Beard Award for Best Chef in the Great Lakes region this year, was formerly the head chef at Spiaggia before leaving to open her own place.
Is there an Asian food, Japanese, Chinese in here?
A little bit of everything there. Yeah, we've got Parachute at number 27. It's all Asian inflected food from chefs who actually all grew up here, even though they have some the Asian heritage. There is. Mentioned Parachute. Where is, I'm looking for Hai Su, one of my debuts at number 20 is Vietnamese. And that is terrific. At number 15, Kitsune is Elizabeth Regan's Japanese meets Midwest concept up in Andersonville.
Huh. I see that Mexique is on there, and that's new. Is that a Mexican restaurant?
Yes, Mexican French. The Carlos Gaitan, born and raised in Mexico, but... French in training, and his French cooking is what he did when he first came to the United States. And so this is sort of him applying his French technique to back-home ingredients.
Huh. Phil and I just discovered during the commercial break that we both have sons.
We do.
Who must be similarly aged. Grant's 28.
Ed is 30. Chris is 28.
And both of our sons are getting married?
Yes.
On the same day?
On the same day, November 11th.
Yeah. So my son's
not
getting
to each
married.
Other. We should get that clear.
Not that there would be anything wrong with that.
No. Except the reception, because one's in Mexico and one's in Chicago.
Yeah. So you guys are doing the destination.
We are doing the destination.
We're doing
wedding.
The stay at home. And I always thought that the destination weddings were a lot of work and expensive, but getting married downtown Chicago is not inexpensive.
No.
So I don't know who of us is winning on that equation.
No. Right. Chicago is a destination for weddings.
It really is.
So you're having a destination. It's just you get to be here.
It really is. I mean, I know a lot of my kids' friends, and I know people, and it's San Diego or Hawaii or India, for God's sake.
Dark side of the moon, yeah.
I know, and I'm thinking, well, y'all get to do what you want to do, but it would be easier if you just stayed here.
At my point, I'm the father of the groom. I have absolutely zero input.
You were not on that meeting, were
anything.
You?
I'm not in any meetings. I'll be glad when my invitation arrives. So that's the first. On the other hand, no pressure. But I asked my son, "What's with the destination?" And he actually made a very coherent point. They ran the numbers, and for most of their people who are traveling from out of town, a plane ride's a plane ride. It's not going to be a whole lot different from where they're going to wind up.
Right, if they're coming from out of town.
And by going with one of these all-inclusive resorts, there's maybe some initial sticker shock for the overall price, but then all the food's included, and you know where you're going for dinner because you're there, and you go to one of the things. And instead of having a wedding in which people do all the interaction with the bride and groom in the 4 hours between the pictures and when they dance the last hokey pokey, now they get to stretch it out over several days and maybe can spend more time with people.
So they're going to say, hey, and by the way, thank you. What a great 4-day vacation we had that we weren't otherwise going to have.
Maybe, if they do it.
Best vegan or vegetarian restaurant in the city? Is one of those on your list?
No. There are a lot of places that do a lot with vegetarian dishes and things like that. Most notably Bad Hunter, which is my favorite name for vegetarian-focused restaurants.
Oh, that's good.
It's like the best name ever.
I don't even like vegetarian dishes. I'm going to go there for that.
Right. The veggie dishes they do there are superb. You can't actually call it a vegetarian restaurant because there is a little animal protein, very little, but it's there, just like Green Zebra out on Chicago Avenue. It's vegetable-focused but not strictly vegetarian. And I think in this market, strictly focused vegetarians just don't play as well.
Hey, the restaurant's got to make a living, so let them put a little in there.
Right, so a little chicken thigh maybe.
It's nice to see you again, Phil. Come on with us more often. You can read the list in last week's Chicago Tribune. Search Phil Vitale and check him out tomorrow. He's got a new restaurant called Katana, which I believe means sword in Japanese. You can add that
to your
list.
That's correct, yes.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.